Who do you say that I am? We as Christians think that's the most important question. That's the big question that Jesus can ask each and every person. Benjamin Baker, one of the best preachers I've ever had the experience of hearing, preached on this passage one time, and he made the very astute observation that if you get this wrong, then everything else is all messed up. It's kind of like having a long list of turns, of directions, if you're traveling somewhere, and if you get the first turn wrong, you're never going to get where you're going. You're going to be lost very quickly. Who do you say that I am? Now, for those of us here this morning, we think that's a question we've already answered. It's an easy question to answer. I love TV, especially with, we don't have cable, but now with digital TV, you get all sorts of channels, even with just a television antenna, and they show a lot of old reruns, and one of the old reruns is Welcome Back, Kotter. Anybody remember Welcome Back, Kotter? And you remember Horshack, right? When he had an answer to a question, right, he would enthusiastically throw up his hand. Oh, Mr. Kotter! Well, we are quick to do, that's what Peter did when Jesus asked this question, and we're quick to do the same thing. We think we know the answer, and it's our chance to shine. It's our chance to show Jesus, like Peter did, how smart he was. To strut our stuff, if you will, to let Jesus know that we really do belong in with the accelerated kids in the inner circle. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. I've got this one. Jesus, you are the Messiah. And we might even turn around, you know, point to our friends behind us. See how smart I am? We know the answer to this question. Who do you say that I am? I think most of us here today, there may be some that don't, there may be some that are searching, that are visitors, but for most of us in the church, we know the answer to that question. And so, you can answer it with me, right? If Jesus says, who do you say that I am? We can say, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Let's try it. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. Jesus, you are the Messiah. And we think we have all the answers. Peter thought that he was in the know too. But then Jesus does what Jesus did so often. Early on in my ministry here a few months ago, I talked about different images of Jesus. Right, and we talked about the different pictures we have of Jesus, and we focused that Sunday on the picture of the laughing Jesus. And sometimes we see Jesus in the Near Eastern ancient garb. We might see Jesus on the cross. We see Jesus in a whole bunch of ways. Sometimes when I see Jesus speaking with a southern drawl, dressed in mechanics coveralls, living in Mayberry, USA. And you might ask why. Because we all know Gomer Pyle, right? Do we remember one of Gomer Pyle's taglines? He would show up and he would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Anybody remember Gomer saying that? Well, Jesus is really good at that. He's really good when we think we have the answers, when we think we know what's going on. Jesus pulls out his best Gomer Pyle imitation and says, surprise. It's what Jesus did to Peter in this passage. You are the Messiah, Peter says. And then Jesus, knowing that Peter had part of the answer right, knowing that Peter had some understanding, how far the disciples had come, right? From not even knowing who Jesus was to maybe journeying with him, maybe thinking he was just this great teacher, maybe thinking he was just going to take them and teach them stuff to go on and teach people. Who knows what they thought along the way? We don't get a lot of glimpses at that. But they come to the point in this place in the Gospel of Mark, in the story of Jesus as Mark tells it, and at least Peter gets a part of the answer. You are the Messiah. And then, you know I'm a baseball fan, right? Well, then Jesus throws Peter the nastiest Kershaw curveball that he could possibly throw. I mean, this thing just broke off the plate. Peter had no chance to see what was coming. Because Jesus starts to define the way that the Messiah is in his mind, not in Peter's. Jesus knew what kind of Messiah Peter was seeing in his mind when he said, "You are the Messiah." He was looking at Jesus and seeing a future, a powerful, a political messianic leader, some general who would ride into town and kick out the Romans, raise an army, reestablish the kingdom of David on the throne in Jerusalem, establishing a brand new government, finally fulfilling God's promise. After all these years of exile and being dispersed across the ancient world and having the Romans tell them how they needed to live and what they could do in their own land. That's what most of the people in Jesus' day were looking for when they heard the idea of a Messiah. But Jesus redefines that term, simply by quickly going to talk about suffering and dying and rejection, not at the hand of the Romans. Those listening, Peter could have dealt with that. Peter could have understood being rejected by the Romans as the Jewish Messiah. But being rejected by the scribes and the elders and the teachers of religious law, that was more than Peter could handle. I think it can happen to us. Sometimes we're hard on Peter, right? Peter's the one that always speaks too fast, that always seems to think he knows what he's talking about and then gets himself in trouble. But sometimes we're a lot more like Peter than we want to think we are. "You are the Messiah," we say, and we might focus on Jesus. You've saved me from damnation. "You are the Messiah, Jesus, you are my friend and my companion. You are the Messiah, Jesus. You are the one I turn to when I can't face life on my own. Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the one who gives me all the answers to the questions in life that I can't figure out. You are the one who helps me fulfill my dreams and live the life I really want to live." We all have our notions of what the Messiah is, and yet Jesus here seems to very, very succinctly start to define the type of Messiah he's going to be. I remember reading a story by Philip Gully. I love the way Philip Gully writes, and he was talking this story about having children and raising his kids, and how as parents, there's things you think you will never have to say. Right? Like he talked to the story once about having to tell his kid not to dip the plastic army man into the ketchup. Who thinks you're going to have to tell your son not to dip the plastic army man? They don't teach that. That's not in parenting books. Right? Well, Jesus said something we never thought he would say in this passage. Peter never thought he would say. Jesus defines for us. See, he gets the last word on what type of Messiah he is going to be. And sometimes, like we would do if we were Peter, we have trouble grasping that. We have trouble accepting that. "Psst, Jesus, come over here, Jesus. Now, you know, all this talk about suffering and death, it's you got to stop that. Like, we've got a good thing going here. We're starting to get followers, right? The crowds are starting to gather. You're doing miracles. I mean, the Romans might even be starting to get nervous already. I mean, we're on the path to victory here. And then you come and start talking about all this suffering and death and dying. You gotta be quiet about that stuff, Jesus." Jesus rebukes Peter, tells him that he doesn't really know what he's talking about. And then he goes on to change the subject, kind of. He stops talking about himself and the type of Messiah he's going to be. He gathers the crowds around to join with his disciples. And then he talks about picking up his cross, or picking up your cross, denying yourself and following Jesus. I think a strong case can be made in this passage. If you've ever wondered what words Jesus was talking about when he said, that we shouldn't be ashamed of him or his words. I think it may be these words that he's telling us now. These words about denial and about picking up our cross and about following him. Because those are the words that it's really tough, not only for us sometimes to share with the world, but for us to grasp and to share and to live in our own lives. But unless we figure this out, unless we see the connection between what Jesus is calling us to do and who Jesus was as a Messiah, we're going to miss the point. Jesus, in many ways, wasn't revealing what he was going to do as a Messiah, but he was revealing the very type of person he was. He was revealing his character. Many years ago, when Michelle Obama spoke at one of the Democratic National Conventions, she spoke about how the presidency doesn't reveal your character, or doesn't change your character, it reveals it. And I think that's what Jesus was doing in this passage. Not saying, okay, up till now, I've been all about victory and healing and gathering people, and now I'm changing paths. Jesus just starts to reveal who he really is, and then calls us to follow that same path. The hard part is for us is not saying that Jesus is the Messiah. We can say that. We say it in some way, shape, or form every week when we gather here. No, the hard part is following Jesus' path, the road he's laid out for us. A path of self-denial and of picking up our cross and of following him. That's the difficult part for us. I think the big question really for most of us isn't who do we say Jesus is. It's whether we're able to go the way Jesus is going, whether we're able to follow the life that he laid out for us. Now, there's something to say about picking up our cross. I think I hear it all the time. That's just my cross to bear. And sometimes we're talking about physical illness. Sometimes we're talking about a child whose life is going a direction we wish it wasn't going. Sometimes it could be unemployed and not being able to find another job. There's all sorts of things that we as Christians say is our cross we have to bear. But those aren't things that we pick up. Those are burdens, yes. They're obstacles that we have to encounter. They're things we have to work through in life. But a cross is something we choose to pick up. Jesus didn't have his cross thrust upon him. He willingly took it upon himself. And as we pick up our cross, it's a choice we make. It's not the cancer that we wish we could have avoided if we wanted to. Picking up our cross and following Jesus is about making choices in our lives. One of the most powerful scenes from the whole Hunger Games trilogy, from the movies or the books, if you didn't read the books and saw the movie, or didn't see the movie and read the books, is when Katniss Everdeen's little sister drew the name out of the hat, that she was going to have to be the one that went into the Hunger Games. And Katniss raised her hand and said, "I volunteer." She willingly picked up that cross, that burden. I think most of our lives are kind of like the disciples with Jesus. We get who Jesus is a little bit. And then Jesus does something in our lives, teaches us something in our lives, reveals something to us through scripture, through friends, through prayer, through sermons, through worship, through whatever way Jesus reveals himself to us in our lives. And we see a little bit more about who Jesus is. And then we think we've got it, and just when we think we've got it, Jesus comes back and says, "Surprise." And we learn that we really didn't have it all, but there's something else we learn, a little bit more that we learn about Jesus. And we see Jesus a little more clearly. I think our whole life is really coming to understand who Jesus is, coming to understand what he calls us to do in following him, who he calls us to be as his disciples. We talk about commitment. We talk about giving up our life for Christ. Jesus, even in this passage, said if we wish to gain our life, we have to lose it. Fortunately for us, for most of us in this country, giving up our lives does not mean death. But it does mean making choices. It means sometimes choosing what might be hard for us for the good of someone else. It might be saying no to something we want to do in order to do what God wants us to do. Sometimes it might be getting outside of our comfort zone, letting Jesus set the terms for who he is in our lives and who he is calling us to be. It's a difficult message, not only for us to hear, but for us to share. And yet I don't think it was any more difficult for the disciples to hear that on this particular day. Who do you say that I am? It's a question we spend our whole life trying to answer. And maybe this morning, if I've done my job well and if the Spirit has used me as I've prayed the Spirit will, maybe somehow through our service this morning, you'll just get a little bit clearer glimpse of who Jesus is. And more importantly, of who he's calling you to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.